1059 The Region, in partnership with RE/MAX Prime Properties, present On the Market, real estate advice that works for you. Have a real estate question? Call us at 416-335-1059. Tweet us at 1059 The Region or email us at info@1059theregion.com.
This is 105.9 The Region. I'm Tina Cortez with On the Market, York Region's exclusive radio real estate show. Our expert from RE/MAX Prime Properties is Asif Khan. Good morning, Asif.
Good morning, Tina.
All right, let's get started with the National Rent Report.
And joining us is Giacomo Lattice from rentals.ca. Giacomo, welcome back.
Oh, thanks so much, Asif. Happy to be back.
Giacomo, we keep hearing that rents continue to climb. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, it's an interesting story of what we're seeing right now. So yes, asking rents for all residential property types in Canada averaged just shy of $2,200 in March, which is an 8.8% increase from a year ago. However, what's interesting is the rate of rent growth. It slowed somewhat from the 10.5% annual growth recorded in February. So actually we're seeing a little bit of slowdown in the rate at which rent is increasing. So rent is increasing, but there are some signs that there might actually be some decreases, as we actually saw a decrease in most of Canada's largest markets. So I'm happy to talk about that as we continue our conversation.
To what do you attribute the slowdown, do you think? Is it just about availability and inventory?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, the flattening of rents in recent months, we can partly attribute it to seasonal factors. You know, this time of year, you know, January, February, March, is not the most ideal time people look to move. They usually like to do that more in the summer months, especially right before the first semester starts in school. But there has been a recent slowdown in rental demand in markets such as Vancouver and Toronto. And because of that, it's really decreased the national average of how fast rents are going up. Prices are just so expensive that there's no way people are able to afford rents in Toronto, Vancouver as they used to. And because of that, we've seen mass exodus in those provinces. And when that happens, and when you see an increase in completions of new purpose-built rentals, you might see some decreases like this continue.
And does that coincide with the end of the school year for university and college students? Because are you seeing this typically at this time of the year every year, or was this decrease in the percentage of increase different this year?
Yeah, the short answer is yes. Like, we typically do see a decrease in not only like the what happening to the average asking rents, but activity, right? Usually less people are more inclined to move right now. And just like anything that if there's a supply and demand dynamic, when demand goes down, typically so does the price. But it's interesting now because we're really starting to look through the data that we saw in 2023 in areas like Toronto and especially British Columbia. Like in British Columbia alone, in 2023, more than 70,000 people left that province, mostly to go to areas like Alberta in search for more affordable rents. And that's why we've seen for about 6 to 7 months now a decrease in rents for areas like Vancouver. People are kind of at a breaking point right now where paying $3,000 a month in rent is just not something feasible anymore.
Giacomo, can we talk about the markets here close to home, Toronto, mm-hmm. York region, the GTHA?
Yeah, of course. So Toronto rents for purpose-built and condo apartments decreased by 0.7% specifically month over month, and they were down 1.3% compared to a year ago. To the average rent right now in Toronto is $2,782 a month, which actually represents the third consecutive month of annual rent declines. And looking a little bit deeper, the average asking roommate rents in Toronto right now are just shy of $1,300. So what's kind of interesting is that we've seen for about 4 months in a row now, roommate rents in Toronto are well above $1,000 a month. And it's interesting because while we say average asking rents are going down, the desire for roommate rentals keeps going up because that seems to be the best way to supplement these high asking rents. So roommate rentals are in such a high demand that those rates are starting to go up a little bit. Kind of going throughout the GTA, Mississauga, an area where we saw rents decrease month over month by about 1%. Oakville was relatively flat. Interesting enough, Oakville has seen a 5% decrease in asking rents for two-bedroom apartments. Brampton as well seemed just about flat with month over month increases. So it's interesting that it's kind of spread around through the whole GTA now.
And if we focus in on the Markham, the Vaughans, what are you seeing in York region in terms of two-bedroom condos or one-bedroom condos? There seems to be a lot more availability in terms of new construction. And has that helped?
Yes, that's the big thing that's happening as well, is that the new availability that we're seeing in, you know, a little bit more of a secondary market like that has definitely helped slow down the demand that we're seeing. We are seeing specifically in, you know, the Toronto Markham area that condo completions have increased. And what's interesting as well, when we talk about condo specifically and how it works into the rental market, is we got into this housing crisis right now because there's no supply. And the reason we can get more supply is people who are currently renting move out of their apartments and get into ownership. And typically the first step into ownership is through condos. And when you see an increase in condo development in areas like York Region and Markham, typically that will help a little bit of softening in asking rents. So because of that, we hope that this kind of continues for the next few months until we get into the busier summer rental season.
And what do you anticipate in the months to come, looking specifically at May and June?
I mean, that is the million-dollar question there. I think the big thing that will be, when do interest rates fall? Because I think so much of what's happening right now is tied to interest rates. There are tons of people who are looking to transition to the ownership market, and they're waiting for interest rates to go down in order for them to actually dip their toes in the water of getting a condo or getting a home. And once we start seeing that pick up, because keep in mind that we've seen a decrease in home buying activity, but once that speeds up a little bit, hopefully that means there'll be more turnover in the purposeful rental market, and then a lot more supply will come into the market. So I think the things will stay relatively the same, where there's going to be a little bit of softening in rents until we see that increased demand when interest rates go down. So that's kind of what we're waiting for right now. And keep in mind, with the interest rates the way they are, it's much more expensive for developers to build. So when those interest rates go down, I think they'll also spring even more development in the industry as well.
And we've heard a lot over the last few weeks that the government is backing away from the number of permanent residents that they're going to be letting in and students that are going to be coming in. How do you see that play out in terms of rental demand and also supply?
Yeah, that's another great question. And what I'm expecting is that it'll be something that will help in the short term for sure, because we're seeing such an abundance of students looking for rentals right now that it's just quite overwhelming for the university. So I think in the short term, if there's less demand, hopefully that will help. But in order to really see sustained levels of new supply come into the market where affordability softens, we really need to see quite an increase in building. You know, I keep going back to what the CMHC estimates, right? 3.5 million new residences need to be built by 2030 in order to their estimation to restore some sort of affordability. We're talking millions of homes, which is triple Canada's historic rate of new builds. So we really have to get to like post-World War II level efforts in order to see some more affordability come back into the Canadian market. So until we start seeing that, I do suspect that even though we're going to reduce non-permanent residences, that's a small thing that will help get us out of this crisis.
Chuck, always great information. And it's Saturday. It's game four. What are the Leafs going to do?
You know, that is truly the million-dollar question of what the Leafs are going to do. You know, I was saying that they won't beat Boston since 1959, which is the year my mother was born. And she would love to see in her lifetime Toronto take down Boston. So let's hope for a little better outcome there.
Chuck, thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you again next month.
Awesome. We'll talk again next month.
After the break, how a property is assessed. This is On the Market on 105.9 The Region. Stay with us.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca. Now, back to On the Market on 105.9 The Region.
Welcome back to On the Market, York Region's radio real estate show. Over to my co-host and our real estate expert, Asif Khan, from RE/MAX Prime Properties, with today's next guest. Asif,
Thank you, Tina. Joining us is Carm Lipsy, Vice President, Valuation and Customer Relations, and the Chief Operating Officer at the Municipal Property Assessment Corporation, also known as MPAC. Carm, welcome to On the Market.
Pleased to be here.
Carm, before we get started, tell our listeners maybe a little bit about MPAC and how you support home buyers.
Yeah, so MPAC, we assess and classify the 5.6 million properties across the province. So these include everything from homes, farms, commercial, and, you know, the largest of those industrial properties that are out there. So what we try to do as an organization, and what we've been doing for quite some time now, is really trying to support homeowners and home buyers by sharing more information than we ever have before. So we provide some online tools or applications that someone can go into, take a look at the information that we have on properties, take a look at some sale information, the assessed value of those properties. So we're, and then also provide some information around, you know, ultimately, how do we assess the value of your home? And you could also take a look and see, you know, the assessed value of your home in comparison to some of your neighbor's properties as well. So it's really meant to be a tool that allows homeowners to really empower themselves and, you know, take a look at some of the information that's available out there to them.
Thank you, Carm, for explaining what exactly MPAC is all about. But why do home values matter?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I would say for many Ontarians, a home is, you know, it's more than just a dwelling. It's an investment. It's a cornerstone of their financial stability. It's often one single greatest asset. So understanding how a property is assessed can really help, you know, current and potentially future home buyers make those informed decisions when it comes to purchasing a home. So, you know, the information that I shared earlier about access to data, I think is really helpful. It provides a little bit of clarity around, you know, what homes are selling for, the assessed value of homes potentially in communities that somebody may be interested in looking to purchase a property.
And Carmen, I can tell you, the MPAC assessment comes up a lot during negotiations where people will say, well, how did you price it at this? Or I'm only offering this because of the MPAC assessment. Tell our listeners a little bit about what goes into property assessments and how it's different from a home appraisal.
Yeah, so one of the things, as I mentioned, one of the things we do is we assess the value of your property. And the assessed value is really to reflect the sales of similar properties in your community, in your neighborhood. So as we're determining the assessed value of your home, just like all the other 5 million homes across Ontario, we take a look at what those local real estate transactions have been in your local community. So that really determines, you know, the value of your property. But, you know, we take into consideration 200 elements, so 200, you know, data points that we look at. And if you look at that, you know, you say 200, that's quite a large number. The key elements in terms of what we look at, you know, the really kind of key, probably five, you know, key elements that we look at that really determine probably about 85% of the value of a property in the marketplace. You know, we always hear about location. So that's something obviously that we take into consideration. The size of your lot, so how big your lot is, the total square footage of your home, its building age and any renovations or, you know, or maintenance work that's been done to it. And then, you know, finally, the construction quality or the quality of that construction. So those are the five kind of key elements that we look at. And that really determines the value of your property, that, you know, the assessed value of your property, which is really, you know, indicative of what the local market is saying are the key elements that take into consider that make up the value of a property.
Can you share the details about property assessments and taxation and how they apply specifically here in Ontario?
Yeah, so, you know, MPAC's role, as I mentioned, you know, we determine the assessed value of your property. And so that assessed value is used by municipalities as a distribution mechanism to determine the allocation that's, you know, that's then, you know, indicated for each individual property. So we're one of the, you know, pieces in the determination of the taxes on your property. Obviously, the most significant contribution of that is, you know, municipalities will determine what their operating requirements are to fund and, you know, carry out the services that that homeowners and other property owners in the municipality are looking for. So whatever that overall, you know, budget is for that municipality, they use the assessed value as a way to determine your portion of what those taxes would be in your community.
And Carm, just before we let you go, can you tell us, or maybe just share with us, what do you think people should know about MPAC that they may not be aware of?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things that, you know, we'd like individuals to understand is that, you know, we're Ontario's property market experts. We're constantly monitoring the value, the sale price of properties across Ontario. And our job is really to ensure that we keep abreast of what's happening with the, you know, sales that are occurring across Ontario. It gives us really great insights around, you know, how the landscape of the province is changing, how the landscape of properties are changing. So it gives us a really great opportunity to really understand, you know, what's happening within those local communities across Ontario. We have a wealth of information that we make available to all property owners and homeowners as well. So if anybody has any questions, I would ask them to go to our website, mpac.ca, and log into our portal about my property. And you can take a look at a wealth of information that we make readily available for free to all property owners in Ontario. And it's a really great way for someone to make some informed decisions of, you know, of what they potentially may want to do down the road.
And just on that, can they go into the portal, Carm, and would they be able to say, hey, listen, I have finished my basement or I've done this to my house? Is there a way to reevaluate the assessment, or is it just a general type of assessment that goes for the entire area?
Yeah, so the assessed value is very specific to your individual property. As I mentioned, there's about 200 data points that we look at. So we have all of that information for every single property. So if you were to log into About My Property and take a look at your home, you'd see all the data points that we would have. You know, those data points make up the assessed value of your property, so they are very specific to the home. So it's important to understand that, you know, you could see some variances from one home assessed value to the other. And those would take into consideration things like, you know, finished basements, garages, swimming pools, you know, any other potential work that's been done to a home. So, you know, we're regularly updating that information. So it's a constant stream of activity that we do for homeowners. If, you know, and property owners in Ontario, we're regularly updating our information. And those permits that individuals take out with their municipalities are provided to MPAC, you know, as a trigger for us to ensure that, you know, we're regularly updating the information and data on properties in Ontario and homes in Ontario. So it's constantly changing as properties are, you know, changing regularly. So it's a key requirement for us to do that. But, you know, just on your point, if you do take a look at the assessed value of your property and you think, you know, the value may not be reflective as to what it should be, you know, we've made it very simple for somebody to file a request for reconsideration, which is an informal review where you're asking MPAC to take a look at the assessed value of your property, or maybe some of the data on your property, you know, may not be accurate, may have changed over time. You can file a request for reconsideration for free through About My Property, and it's a very easy and simple way for someone to initiate that. So I would ask, again, anyone to sort of take a look at it and take a look at the assessed value of their property. I think the one part that I, you know, before we end, I wanted to just clarify is that the assessed value of all properties in Ontario is still based on a January 1st, 2016 valuation date. We get our direction from the provincial government as to when we would conduct the next province-wide reassessment. We were looking to do that back in 2020, but, you know, as you all may recall, 2020 was, you know, in the height of the pandemic. There was a decision at that time, you know, I think very appropriately so, to pause what an assessment update would have been for 2020. And at this point, as the provincial government, we're waiting for their direction as to when we would conduct another province-wide assessment update. That would, you know, have assessed values that would be more reflective of current market conditions in Ontario.
Carm, you've certainly provided a lot of clarity and explanation as to who MPAC is and what you do. Thanks for joining On the Market. And once again, that website to visit for our listeners would be?
MPAC.ca.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
When we come back, your real estate questions. This is On the Market on 105.9 The Region. Stay with us.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him, 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca. Now, back to On the Market on 105.9 The Region.
Welcome back to On the Market. Time now for our listener questions, and we begin with Andy in Thornhill. He wants to know what is and what is not included in the sale of a property, such as faucets, window coverings, appliances. Asif?
Generally speaking, it's anything that's permanently affixed to the property. So kitchen cabinets, bathroom cabinets, faucets, sinks, bathtubs, those are all attached, and they have to be included with the property. Everything else, like light fixtures, window coverings, appliances, you have to ask for them. So a lot of people will leave the light fixtures or say that they're going to exclude a certain light fixture and replace it with the original one. But you want to make sure that you're putting everything into the agreement of purchase and sale, even the furnace and equipment, because sometimes people may have a rental furnace and they don't even know. But if you don't ask for it, then you're taking over this rental agreement. So if you want it included, then I know a couple of weeks ago we had someone on the show about the differences between purchasing a property with rental equipment versus purchasing a property where you own the AC and furnace, and it makes a huge difference because that's a huge expense. So if you have to pay that out after the fact, you could be paying thousands of dollars more. So make sure that your agent is putting all of that stuff into the agreement so that it is included. But things like bathroom mirrors are usually included, but if it's a mirror that's outside, a decorative mirror, that's not included. So if you do want that, make sure you put it into the agreement of purchase and sale, because there's no verbal representation or warranties after the fact. Everything that's in that agreement of purchase and sale is what the courts would abide by.
Is something like the rental of a furnace on the agent's radar, or is it something that the purchaser should keep in mind?
Both. Okay. You know, we will put into our agreement of purchase and sale that it does include the furnace, and there's also a spot on the agreement of purchase and sale where you put rental equipment. Usually a hot water tank is a rental. It's a bonus if it's not, because then you own it. Well, it's some people will think it's a bonus because they own it and they don't have to pay the monthly fees, but some people will think of that as a detriment, because if anything goes wrong with a rental water heater, you can just call the company and they'll come and replace it. So the water heaters I've seen go both ways, but you want to make sure that anything that you want included in that agreement purchase and sale is listed, especially appliances, because I've seen people take appliances out just because it wasn't mentioned on the agreement of purchase and sale, and there's nothing a buyer can do because they didn't ask for it.
And what if you spot something in a home that you think, wow, I really would like to see if they would leave that with the home? Is that something that you should discuss with your agent first, or how does that work?
Yeah, discuss it with your agent, and at most it becomes a negotiating factor. So a funny story, I have seen someone include a dog because they went in, they fell in love with this dog, and they asked the owner if they could have the dog, and the owner was moving to a condo which did not permit dogs. So in the end, the new homeowners did get the dog, and there was also a caveat put in there that the previous owner could visit the dog once
wow.
a week. So you got to ask. If you don't ask, you're not going to get it.
Now that is a unique situation, I assume.
It certainly is. Yeah.
All right. Our next question comes to us from Jerry in Markham. He wants to know if he can ask why the sellers are selling and how many times a property has been sold. What does this reveal about a home? Asif.
Well, the number of times a property has been sold can be easily found out just through the land registry system or even some of the MLS sites, which will show you the last sales and how many times it was sold. You know, if it's been sold, if the house is 10 years old and it's been sold 5 times, you got to question why people aren't staying there. As for asking the seller, you may or may not get the right answer. A lot of people will just say, hey, I'm moving closer to work, or I'm moving closer to family, or, you know, we've outgrown this property. So you may not get, hey, my neighbor, I can't stand them, and that's why I'm leaving, because they're not going to say something that's going to take away from the possibility of you purchasing this property. But do your homework. Go around the neighborhood, maybe even hit it up on a Saturday afternoon when everyone's outside, and you can talk to some of the neighbors and tell them what you're thinking, because you'll get a lot of information now. It may not be correct information, but you'll get a lot of information from the neighbors. You have to be careful with that too, because there was a situation where the tenant in a basement was arrested at Home Depot for possession of marijuana. This is back in the day. So the neighbors automatically thought that the basement tenant was using the place as a grow op. So that was the message that went out to the street. And when a potential buyer was looking at this place, they said, well, it was a grow op, but it wasn't a grow op. He was just arrested at Home Depot. So that's what I mean by you may not get accurate information from the neighbors, but you will get it some information that you can then take and do more research on.
And is that something that a buyer should do automatically, is do their homework, as you say, talk to the neighbors, get to know the neighborhood, drive through maybe at off times as well? Is that the advice you're giving buyers?
Yes. You should always take a drive through around the busy times, maybe around when people are leaving for work, coming home from work, because it will give you a pretty decent picture of what's happening in that area.
As a reminder, if you have questions for On the Market, send your email anytime to info@1059theregion.com. But Asif, if our listeners prefer to contact you directly, how can they do that?
They can always reach me at 416-985-CON. That's 416-985-5426.
If you missed any part of our show, go to 1059theregion.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Audible. I'm Tina Cortez for Asif Khan. Thank you for listening.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him 416-985-CON. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca.